Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. And guess what? You don't have to hear me today. You can, though, listen to episode number 62. It just doesn't feature me. It will feature a guest host, Miss Dani Fisher, who is a local artist and has taken over one of our rotating guest spots. If you haven't been paying attention, keep in mind, we've been going on for over a year now with a once weekly posted every Monday podcast hosted by myself. We have been getting requests from various folks wanting to be on the show, some new projects, some new programs, and thankfully some new sponsors who are willing to help us out and bring to you, the listening audience, more shows featuring the entertainers, artists, authors, newsmakers, and whoever else we can con into sitting down and talking with us. So I have decided about a month or so ago to expand to twice weekly. And what I did is I tapped in to a couple of past guests, specifically Dani Fisher. Again, she's a local artist and musician here in the Prescott and Chino Valley area. Sky Daddy Conwell, a great musician and a good friend of mine, very entertaining guy, and Les Lyman. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but just to recap, Danny's going to sit down with some local authors and musicians and artists and talk about their inspirations, how they better their lives through their art. Sky hosts a Wednesday night every week open mic at the Birdcage Saloon, the historic Birdcage Saloon on Prescott's Whiskey Row. Every Wednesday, he opens up the stage to anybody who wants to come in and play and sing and do whatever they do. And periodically, we're going to be popping through there, plugging into that soundboard and recording some original content, some singer-songwriters. Sky will periodically open the show by inviting up some hand-picked guests to perform some original songs, some original compositions, and talk about their history and the inspiration behind those songs. We have... just last week, we posted his first show with Jim Sobo. We've got one in the queue for Les Lyman. The great, great Chuck Hall has been up there, and we've got some other great entertainers. So stay tuned for that. Les Lyman will be doing some long-form meandering. The best thing about Les is we're going to plug a mic in, put it in front of him, and let him talk and choose a subject and just kind of go off with it. He's got some nice ideas for that show, and as soon as we can get some of those solidified, we'll be posting those up. But the powerhouse of the group is Dani Fisher. She's got 7 or 8 already plugged in and recorded. We rolled one out a couple weeks ago with Paul T. Morris, a local broadcaster and musician. Today's I'm taking a day off. I'm shelving one of mine and taking a little vacation snow day. It is snowing here in the Prescott area and schools are closed. So my little guy Anthony is home from school, so we're going to goof off and play around, and I'm going to post up one of Danny's shows instead. This is one we did a few weeks ago at the Granite Mountain Brewery with the Flagstone Gal, Miss Eve Smith. She is a local artist that deals with various mediums, including painting on flagstone. She's got some beautiful pieces. She does. That's not her only medium. She does a lot more. But her Facebook page is The Flagstone Gal, and we'll have links to that on milehighshow.com. You can click on there and look at her art as well as Dani Fisher's at dannyfisher.gallery, and her work is displayed in and around Prescott at a lot of different restaurants and galleries and breweries and things. So sit back and listen to Eve Smith talking with Dani Fisher, and look for that second show every week hosted by either Dani, Sky, or Les, and of course on a regular basis, my Monday show, with the exception of today because I'm lazy, but my Monday show hosted by myself, and then Wednesdays with a rotating guest. Now, one of the ways that we're able to to bring you these additional shows is by some great sponsorship and some opportunities we're getting through Amazon and Audible. So, commercial time. Don't tune out yet. Stay tuned. Great conversation with Danny and Eve Smith. But before we get into that, go to milehighshow.com. Click on that Amazon banner at the bottom of the page. It doesn't cost you a dime extra. What it does is it takes you to your regular login page through either Amazon or Amazon Prime, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us. So get rid of that Amazon bookmark you're using normally and bookmark milehighshow.com. Click on that Amazon link and shop away as normal. Again, doesn't cost you an extra dime, but it does let Amazon know you got there through us. And they give us a little thank you for directing you to them. Shop away. Spend some money. It's almost tax time. So for those of you getting a refund, use that to buy some special things through the milehighshow.com Amazon banner. And then we get a little piece of the action. Also, now this one's really nice because, like we've pointed out before, I'm sure many of our listeners don't know how to read. So audible.com is the perfect spot for you. Take in knowledge without spraining your lips and eyeballs when you read and your mouth moves while you read. Audible.com also has a banner right there at the bottom of Mile High Show. You click on that. Sign up for a free 30-day trial by clicking that banner using the code MILEHIGH. Now, Audible has over 180,000 different titles. That's books, spoken word, podcasts, all kinds of audio content on there. 180,000 titles to choose from. And if you use the code MILEHIGH, you get a 30-day free trial to their subscription and a free audio download. That's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. And get this. If you cancel that subscription, not only do you not get charged anything, you get to keep that free trial. This is, you're given permission here. Audible is giving you permission to steal from them. You're getting free stuff. And we at Mile High Show get a little piece. They thank us financially for doing that. So head on over to milehighshow.com, click that Audible download link right there at the bottom of the page, and use the code MILEHIGH on checkout, and you get a free audio download. 180,000 titles. One of them is going to sound interesting to you. So do it. And now listen to Mile High Show hosted by Danny Fisher. Oh, one more thing. February 21st, 5 o'clock, Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley over by the Harkins Theater. It is our special panel show. We're going to have live music. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to have all kind of fun stuff. We're going to be talking about Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, which is coming out this March. So February 21st, 5 p.m., Gabby's Grill. Be there. Again, get free stuff. All right, here's Danny Fisher and Eve Smith. Why aren't you in school today?
Because it's a break off.
Why is it a break? Why can't you go out in the snow? I don't understand this. You don't go in the snow. It's snowing. You should be in school learning. All right, go outside, chop some wood. Go. What are you doing in the living room? What are you doing over there?
Games.
What games? Pin the tail on the puppy?
No.
You need to go outside and chop some wood. Go chop wood. No. Go on. What are you gonna do? Go on. Chop some wood. Make yourself useful.
Hello, Prescott, Quad City, Tri-City, five-city area. This is Danny Fisher. We are now on the Mile High Show. This is a new segment called Kaleidoscope, and I'm here to inspire you. My background is I'm an artist and a musician and a performer, and I do dishes like everybody else. I raise my kids, and I've come through a lot of different places, and what I want to do, what I've found from all my travels is, especially in this community, there are so many amazing creative folks. And I'm not just talking about people with a guitar, people with paintbrushes. I'm talking about people that are chefs and brewers and wine folks and performers, actors, writers, teachers. So my format for the show, and I did have one similar called Art from the Heart in Pennsylvania, a few years ago, but my format for the show is not only for you to get to know your local creative people, and appreciate them and know that they're right here next to you when you're walking around town, but also to reach for your own creative spirit if you haven't quite found it. Everybody has a story. Some people say they were a musician since they were five because their parents were musicians and gave them lessons. Some people say they didn't reach for their gift until they were 35 and they were worried because they had to support a family and they still wanted to do their gift. So no matter what your art form is, and yes, life is art, what I'm wanting this show, the purpose for the format of this show is to inspire you to reach for that creative spirit, use it, and show some appreciation for the folks in your town that are helping keep things interesting and colorful. So today is our first show. Right now I'm sitting at Granite Mountain Brewing with Eve Smith. Eve Smith is a Chino Valley resident. She's also a very good friend of mine, very inspiring to me, and a visual artist. How are you doing today, Eve?
Hello, Danny. I am doing so good, and I'm so happy to be here sitting with you.
Very good. No, actually here at Granite Mountain Brewing, I'm also the arts coordinator, and we run a Mile High Artist League show every month. So we have fourth Fridays, but we also get together sometimes on a Wednesday, and we have a bunch of artists come here and talk to you. We're actually just here with Eve today, and we're sitting at the brewing thing. Matt Santos is taking pictures of us while we're getting used to our equipment. It's a fun time. So, and I'm sorry, could you tell me your name again?
Linny?
That's my auntie's name, and today's her birthday.
Happy birthday, yes. Aunt Linny.
Wonderful. And we also have an innocent bystander, another one with a dragonfly purse. She's got good class and good style doing creative things in Prescott Valley. So, Eve, how long have you lived in this area, and what drew you to this area?
Well, I have been in Arizona for almost 10 years now, in Chino Valley for 3. And I can't really tell you what drew me to Arizona. It was more kind of like taking out the map of the United States, looking at it, and then shutting my eyes, pointing to a particular spot, and wherever my finger landed is where I went.
And you had a willing family?
I had a very willing family. My husband and my one son at the time currently have 2 now. Mm-hmm. So one, I will proudly say, is an Arizona native.
Nice. I have one of those, too. Very good. So your husband's also an artist with plants. He does landscaping.
He is. I call him the manscaper. And manscaping and landscaping is most certainly an art form. And I don't think that one person would just think that, oh, playing with bushes all day is an art form, but it most definitely is.
No, that's why we're here, to make people understand, to hope and pray that they understand, like, anything you're doing can be art. And you live in Chino. You also have a garden. You have a dog. You're into nature. You take care of your kids. So you're not just a flighty Van Gogh artist that hides in a corner and cuts your ear off when you're depressed, or are you?
No, not quite. I am very in tune with nature, and Arizona and all of the beauty of Arizona and a lot of the nature aspects and the scenery and the mountains and all of these beautiful things that Arizona has to offer is honestly what kept me here. I fell in love with the landscape and the mountains, and I can remember whenever I first moved here, I probably avoided a few wrecks, luckily, because I was gazing off at the beautiful landscape that was before me driving down the interstate.
I can understand that completely. It is definitely beautiful here. It's one of the reasons I came home from Pennsylvania. For those of you who don't know, I'm a Pennsylvania native, but I lived here before. I was gone for 6 years, and I just couldn't wait to get home. And Eve is one of the first friends I made in Chino once we got situated. Eve is an amazing artist, and you can see her work at Granite Mountain Brewing. She also has it at Jed's Sandwich Shop in Chino Valley. And she has a Facebook page. Do you want to go ahead and do all your plugging? How we can get a hold of you if we want your art?
Yes. Well, my Facebook page, which is my only internet avenue right now for advertising myself and marketing myself, but you can find me at Facebook at The Flagstone Gal, not girl, gal, like G-A-L.
Because yeah, we live in Chino.
It's cooler than girl anyway.
So Flagstone Gal on Facebook, and you don't just do Flagstone, am I right or wrong?
You're correct. I paint on pretty much anything I can get my hands on. I paint mainly on flagstones. I will specialize in custom paints for driveway stones. People like to have driveway stones at the tip of their drive with their address or their last name on it. And what I do generally is I will do custom scenes for a family to have this beautiful stone at the tip of their driveway. But I also paint on canvas. I try to put a lot more of my fine art, stuff that comes from my head, onto canvas and onto wood planks sometimes. And I'll paint on metal pieces or old logs that I find out in the woods when I go hiking. So pretty much anything that I find aesthetically pleasing, I will sand it down and paint on it.
I like it. Right now, I'm wanting to... I want to get into how you knew you loved art. What I wanted to say about your artwork, though, before that, is just that something that's amazing about it is you tailor your art to your community, to each individual person. You do your own stuff, your personal stuff that comes from your soul, and you have your venue for your creative part of exploration. And all of us that are artists, we know that not every piece is a big winner. Sometimes you rework pieces and do all that kind of stuff. But you have such a great way of doing very out there things that come from just you. Sorry, I was taking my microphone away from my mouth. But the other thing that you do is you have very rustic American Western pieces that fit well with your community, and that's one of the things I love about you. I like your crazy art, too.
Thank you.
So how and when did you know you wanted to be an artist? Some people have supportive parents. I'm not sure completely about your entire background. Tell me the story of how you knew, the moment that you knew that this is what you wanted to do.
My first memory with art, I do believe I was in second or third grade in Louisiana, and my teacher would do a bulletin board in our classroom that kind of corresponded with whatever was going on with each month. And the first thing that I remember drawing and getting a huge reaction from was a snowman. I drew a snowman that I saw on the bulletin board, and just from looking at it, as this little second or third grader that I was at the time, I drew it. In my mind, I thought it was just perfectly drawn, like the way I saw it on the wall. And I remember my classmates just oohing and aahing about how beautiful this snowman came out. And I found that very pleasing. And I remember then continuing to tinker around with drawing and coloring, and adults starting to give me attention on the things that I was creating. And I really liked the feeling of pleasing people with drawing these cute things that I was drawing as a child. And then we started getting into the conversations in school of, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember thinking, at as young as I can remember being asked that question, I want to be an artist. But then life happens. You go to school, you become a teenager. There's all these things that start evolving in your world. And then slowly these things that you had grasped in your mind as a child start fading away. And though I tinkered with art a lot throughout high school and even some during or after high school, I didn't consider myself an artist until after I was in corporate America for many, many years. And one day woke up and said, whoa, wait a second. I had all these dreams as a child, and now here I am an adult and doing all of these things, slaving away at a job, trying to work hard for a paycheck that really doesn't make any difference. And I need to go back to what I love, to what I once used to dream about and fantasize about, and that was art. So for about a year and a half now, I have been completely dedicated to painting things and drawing things and just making things happen artistically and creatively to connect with people and to just make things beautiful.
Do you still struggle?
Oh, absolutely. I think if anybody says they do not struggle, that is a lie. Because everything brings its own battles and struggles, but it's how you treat it that ultimately
right.
ends
you
up
can
mattering.
You can have your struggles in corporate America, and you can be an artist with that world, too, I believe. I mean, I believe that there is a time and a place for everything, and some people are in there to change the world and do good, and it's possible. But you knew that your goal and your calling was different.
Yes, I knew that I needed to take a pause on my life and just kind of redirect my focus emotionally and just in life in general, because I was a little lost. And I think that being able to be in touch with myself creatively has helped to break through some of the barriers that I've struggled with for a long time.
So it's not just therapy for yourself, it's therapy for the world.
I do believe so.
They always say if you want to change the world, you change yourself. And, you know, it's true.
Absolutely.
It's funny. I didn't hear anywhere in there, did your parents, when you were young and you said you wanted to be an artist, were they like, ooh, that's awesome? Or were they kind of like, oh, well, that's just something that a child goes through and, you know, everybody wants to be a vet or an actor?
My mother, she definitely did support me in whatever it was that I was dreaming. And my dad, I don't think he ever really paid a whole lot of attention to what was actually going on with art. But now here we are as grown people, and he really does support me. So I think he was
right.
probably dealing with...
I actually sold him one of your paintings.
Yes, he did. Right? He came in here to Granite Mountain Brewery.
He had to buy one of his paintings from his daughter through me.
Yes, I thought that was
beautiful.
And
he was very graceful about it. He really was. Yes. So what besides, you know, and I'm not discerning... Besides feeling like you're healing yourself through the arts, what else do you get from it? I mean, you're a functioning working artist. You have a painting at your house. You've just painted a wedding. You paint live people. You paint flagstone for people's yards. And I've watched you on the way here wondering if when you send the picture of the half-finished painting to the mother of the bride, having turmoil and wondering if she's going to like it, if you're going to have to rework it. Should you just give it to her and not tell her what it looks like or show her and just say, here it is. So what else? Because all those struggles you really are bringing on yourself. I mean, we all do. But what else do you get from it? What do you personally get from it?
I get a lot of peace. There is a peace that comes along with sitting down and taking the time to make something beautiful. And it's not always just for yourself. Like I said, I do a lot of custom work for people. So to be able to dig into somebody else's mind, ask them questions, figure out what exactly it is that they want to see brought to life, that they have in their imagination, that maybe they can't necessarily execute themselves, or maybe they just think that they can't execute themselves. Either way, to be able to make something that was once in somebody else's mind, I think that is so rewarding. To ask somebody questions, have them tell you a story, and then put that story down onto a piece of stone or a piece of wood or a canvas, and then to watch their reaction once they see what they've been imagining, and then now they see it in real life, this beautiful picture, it is so incredibly rewarding that I barely even have words for it. It's almost like an emotion that you can't really put into words because it's just so beautiful to be able to take somebody a piece of their mind, a piece of their thought process, and to make it real.
Right. Thank you. So it's not all about getting paid all the time, although we all have to get paid and deserve money for what we're doing. Right?
Yes, like the money's nice,
right?
But
I didn't put that in there to discern the fact that this is a real job, that we're all getting paid for arts, and that's what I do. You know, it's a part of our lives. This is how we make our living, and it was important since the days of the cavemen. They were communicating on walls what the different crops and what the different animals that they were going to eat or hunt, like they were communicating to each other what was happening. That's a tool. There's a, you know, there's a price for that. Just as much as there's a price for us to make this kind of living. Thank God we have a supportive family. Not everybody does, you know, a price to take this kind of living and not have the 401k all the time and not have the benefit package all the time. And no, it's not a 9-to-5, but somehow I have to fit going to my son's football practice at the same time I have a deadline kind of life. So
yes, folks, there is a price. Speaking of that price thing, we'd like to keep the lights on here at Mile High Radio Show. So if you have some online shopping to do, please use the Amazon button at www.milehighshow.com and shop away. You will be directed to your Amazon or Amazon Prime login as usual. No additional cost, nothing extra to do, but the Mile High Show gets a little kick to keep our lights on. Click under the link in the middle of the Mile High Show homepage and bookmark it on your browser. You can also find some recordings of some other shows on there, so type away and enjoy. Eve, back to you. We're sitting here at Granite Mountain Brewing once again. We've got at least 11 artists on the wall behind us. The artist isn't actually hung on the wall like a meat hook, but there's actually artwork from all the artists on the wall for sale. We sell artwork here. We do for Fourth Fridays, and we also have a monthly Wednesday artist meet and greet here. It's all part of the Mile High Artist League, and today we are interviewing Eve Smith, who lives in Chino Valley and is a wonderful mother and wife and artist. We were talking about what it takes to be an artist, how you knew you were an artist, and we talked about the fact that, yes, sometimes people struggle, but can you do me a favor and tell me, give me a specific example of a struggle that you've had recently in the turmoil of being an artist sometimes. And the reason I'm wanting to tell the community this is because I know you're out there. I know some of you are sitting at home and going, geez, I make the best tamales or the best burritos and I should start selling them, but I'm afraid there's a lot of cost involved and I really don't have any time because I've got to get my kid to school or pay my alimony or whatever you have going on. I got to make sure my truck's okay. How do we learn to confidently and willingly juggle our dreams with our reality? That's what I'm wanting you all to know out there. I want you to be able to reach out and grab something that is your dream, even if you've laid it down for a while, and be able to pick it up with confidence and faith that you're meant to have fun doing what you love. So Eve, what I'd like from you is a story recently of maybe a way you struggled in the art world. Cause I know you just took a part-time job, but you really like it. It was at Sally Beauty Supply and you enjoy your job there. You were a manager there for years before you switched over to the art world. And, now you're back for just a few short shifts a week, but you do speak about it with so much joy. And that's another one of your art forms. I could just see you in there talking to all the ladies that come in and need a new curling iron or they want to cover up their wrinkles. And I could just see you in there making them feel so precious and so good about themselves. So tell me the story once again. Something that you might have struggled with in the art world recently about who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. And then after that, I'm going to ask you what advice you would have for others going through that same thing.
Yeah, I've actually hit a few roadblocks in my year and a half of being a full-time artist. And one of my most recent struggles was I tried a new product on the flagstones that I do, which obviously, since they're at the tip of somebody's driveway, they need to be able to withstand the elements of Arizona, the rain during the monsoon seasons, the scorching heat during the summer, you know, even 17 degree nights like we've been having lately, and be able to withstand going through all these weather changes. And I use a very special product to make sure that they hold up against the weather. And recently, I made a bad decision in changing product, and I sent out a handful of stones that ended up not being of quality that I so pridefully send out.
I want to stop you right there and say I think you made a good decision in trying something to keep your costs low, but the way you handle it, and I'll let her finish her story, it's quite amazing.
Yes, well, I actually upgraded product, and I bought a more expensive product that, because of the manufacturer's sales pitch to me, I was like, well, this is a huge upgrade in my whole operation, and it ended up not working out at all, and my stones were not holding up as well as they should have, and thankfully I found out rather quickly. But whenever I found out that the first stone that went bad was not going to hold up, I was instantly crushed, because I really do take pride in sending out good products, stuff that people will be able to enjoy for hopefully a lifetime.
And hopefully buy more because they love it so much.
Exactly. Yes. And refer me to friends, which so far has actually been going very smoothly. But here I was in the middle of this, you know, it seemed like a crisis. At the moment, it really did seem like a crisis. I felt like my entire operation just had crumbled before me. And I cried about it. And I called the seven people that I knew had stones that lacked integrity. And I was just genuine with them. And I think that whenever it comes to handling a situation that could make or break you, you really just have to be honest and confront the situation as genuinely and peacefully as you possibly can. And all you can hope for is that the person on the receiving end is graceful and merciful back to you, which also is something that I try to practice. And it's hard sometimes whenever you know that in your heart you have this grace and you want to show other people mercy and you really hope that you get that back from people in situations like this.
Thank you. I was thinking that is a good story and a good role model set example that I do want to talk about because there are some artists, and we all do have egos, and we tend to get a little sassy sometimes, but all of you know, being out there at galleries and, you know, purchasing artwork, you have some really friendly artists that really know what they're talking about. You have some shy people that are coming out of their shell, and you have some people that don't know how to promote themselves. Then you have, you know, every now and then someone that just doesn't want to work with someone because they're kind of sabotaging themselves. They're kind of procrastinating through it. So that is important. Now I'm going to reach a little deeper into that, and I want you to tell the story about your friend's house and how she asked you to make that tree when you were just about ready to quit. And I'm sorry for going so deep because I know you so well, but this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Your friend that has scripture written all over her wall and she wanted a tree and you were just ready to go take another position.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Now, this is the reality and this is why we pay a price to be your artist and you pay a price for us.
Now, I was about on the... Just, I really did feel like I wanted to stop. That trying to make a living off of doing art and trying to just manage myself was just too much for me to handle. Just there is a lack of just stability and structure. And these are things that I need. And sometimes it's hard to sit at home and be a structured person on your own with your own decision making and just all the distractions of life that can really just get in the way of all that. But my friend did. She asked me to do a painting for her and I went over to her house quite unwillingly, I must say, but she was a friend of mine and I know that she genuinely wanted something from me and I was willing to give that to her. And she had purchased a big, beautiful canvas for me to paint on and she wanted something very specific. And whenever I got to her house, she said, well, would you like to paint in the living room or would you like to paint in my bedroom? And I said, you know, I don't want to paint in the living room because I really just don't like the lighting in here. So I went to her bedroom and I set this canvas next to her window and there was enough sunlight coming through the window that it was making the canvas just kind of shine in a way that I didn't enjoy. So I moved this canvas in front of her TV using the TV kind of as a prop for the canvas. And right as I moved this canvas over and propped it in front of the TV, just where I had sat it, right on top of the upper left-hand corner of the canvas, there was this little emblem on her TV that ironically said, I paintbrush art. And I know it doesn't sound like a really big deal, but this was a saving moment for me. Like, I needed a message from the universe.
Right, and it doesn't matter if it comes off of a TV or a gum wrapper in the alleyway.
Yeah, and I've never seen a TV named iArt.
Right? I still haven't.
What is this brand? And I want to call the manufacturer and thank them. Not that they had anything to do with it, but I don't think they realized how much of a life-changing moment this was for me that they put I.
Right, and wouldn't the world be so amazing if you do call them? You should call them and just say thank you.
I think I will search out that because, you know, we do it is very important to spread good vibes and to tell the person sitting next to you how much you enjoy their shoes or something simple like that.
Yes. So it said I Heart Art and you were just at a point where you're like, F it, I'm going to get a job.
Oh, I was so done at the moment. I was just, and more because I was heartbroken. And I really, it takes me a minute to recover from a broken heart because I really try to make sense of these painful moments. And sometimes I just can't.
Right. When you're living in the creative spirit, how can you be expected to put your emotional turmoil in a box? You know, like if you're living now in the creative spirit, you're dealing with everything as an art form all the time. Life is your thing. So you can't really set it aside all the time. Sometimes it's proper to file things away and, you know, the show must go on. We all think the show must go on with a big smile, but you've got to deal with that stuff. One of the biggest things that my vision with the Mile High Artist League, and I'm also the superintendent for the Yavapai County Fair Fine Arts Department, and then I also host this show. One of the biggest things that I'm trying to do with my members of the Mile High Artist League is train them and teach them how to be confident. I went to art school. My story on how I knew I was going to be an artist was similar to Eve's. It was Easter, and I did a bunny with cutout paper, and the carrot was gold. And both my parents, they fought a lot and eventually got divorced. But anytime I did art, they were both standing over my shoulder telling me how much they loved me and like how wonderful I was doing. And that was in kindergarten.
That's awesome.
So my story about how I knew I wanted to be an artist was similar. But what I'm trying to do, and then I went through art school, and I have a ton of different degrees from 8 different colleges. I went to school for a long time, and I have all kinds of fancy degrees that say I'm an art therapist and a visual artist and an art educator. But I chose to take care of my own family and immerse myself in my community. And one of the things I'm trying to help other artists with is I don't want to see Van Gogh in a corner. I don't want to see someone like, basically, here's my deal. Van Gogh's an amazing artist. If you go to France, they have his paint brushes and his easel under glass, and you can see how destroyed they are. Now, me, you know, formerly an art teacher for 20 years, I'm sitting there going, oh, nobody taught him how to clean his brushes, right? You know, take care of your brushes. They'll last longer, just like your teeth. But he smashed them, and you can see the emotion in his painting right there just with his easel and the brushes all smushed up and messed up and disheveled. And if you know anything about his story, you know, he had a substance abuse problem. His family shunned him. His brother kept paying. And this is something that I've been going through. You know, his brother funding him for his creative experience to keep moving and keep making art was amazing. But was he enabling him? You know, like, was he or was he not? Like, should Van Gogh had a different kind of support where he stands up, you know, gets a little less on the absinthe or whatnot, and continues to make his art because he cut his ear off. He hid in a corner. Nobody appreciated him while he was alive or his art. And if they did, they didn't say much. Why do we have to wait till we're dead?
Yeah, that's not fair.
No, it's not fair. I will tell you, it's not fair. No, we've got to live now. So what I'm trying to do for, you know, with the process of the show and everything else is train artists in the community. And you're welcome to come to me. I'm Dani Fisher. I'm on Facebook, DaniFisher. There is also the Mile High Artist League on Facebook. And my website is www.dannyfisher.gallery. If you want to email me, it is Howlinhands, Howlinhands at hotmail.com. And if you want to call me right on the phone or text me, it's 610-823-3742. I'm reaching out to the community. If you are an artist or a musician or a performer or have a special gift that you know is for you and you want to share with your community, please call me or email me. If you need a little help getting out there because you're a little insecure, maybe you just made one awesome painting in school and you don't know how good it is and you're not sure you want to sell it, but you know you enjoyed it, call me. If you're a totally successful artist and you want to plug yourself and give some advice to some of your predecessors and mentors, you can call me. But what I'm trying to do is keep you from being a Van Gogh in the corner, cutting off your ear and hiding from yourself and not being able to market yourself. When you are a part of your community, no matter what your position, you are right out there. You are living clearly. You are being honest with everybody and you're doing your gift and getting paid for it. And if it's not pay, if you're trading for a haircut, it's the same deal. I traded a painting for a mandolin last month and I always wanted a mandolin. So that's still a payment. So if you need my help, you can definitely call me. Eve,
Yes.
What else would you like to talk about?
You know, I'm with you on all that, just good vibes and connecting. It's such an important thing nowadays. You know, I think that because of technology, we've become a little bit more insensitive to each other, and life in general can throw a lot of curveballs that we just don't understand. And I think sometimes that keeps us in a corner. And I was once in a corner, and maybe myself, I was a Van Gogh. I wasn't cutting off any ears, but there's a lot of hidden talent in a lot of people. And, I definitely would like to reach out more to the community and to children and to, even just my friends and my family, just to sit down and paint and just create. Because even if you're not this wonderful artist that makes these, you know, $1,000 paintings, sometimes it's just good to sit down and have a good time and make something beautiful.
Right. And it would make a great gift for someone that you
absolutely
love. Absolutely. Well, we've got another 20 minutes to talk about art and what we're doing here at GMB. We've got Matt Santos helping mentor another radio show, or a radio wanting person, someone that's doing their dream and going to get another podcast going. He's helping mentor her right now. And as far, again, as paying your bills, iTunes, click the big main photo on milehighshow.com and go to our iTunes page. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Help the Mile High Show get some more visibility. Click the main photo at milehighshow.com and go to our iTunes page and give us a review. Thank you. How have you enjoyed what we're doing here with the wall? How are the meet and greets going?
Granite Mountain Brewery, first of all, is an amazing business with fantastic beer. I must say they have something super special going on, and beer is most certainly its own art form, something that I know very little about, but I will sit here and drink some, that's for sure.
Right, it's an art form all in itself, and I've met the brewer, and he's very cool, and he was having a beer at 11 one day, and I think that's awesome. I hope I'm not embarrassing him, but it's his job. He gets to taste beer and figure out if it's good or not.
Yeah.
Right now at the brewer, we've got several artists. Let's see if I could just name them just by looking at the wall. There's myself, Danny Fisher, Chris Fisher, Sherry Roberts, Jeff Daverman, Eve Smith, of course, Rainbow, what's her last name? It starts with an F. Shucks, I might have to walk down there eventually and get back to you on that. We've got Roberta Sulls. Soon we're going to have Rita Cantu of Gantarva Farms, and she has some wonderful alpaca products weaved and made from the alpacas that she farms at her organic farm. I was also a worker at her farm this past summer and got great organic produce just for working on the farm. It was totally a blessing. I already mentioned Sherry Roberts. We have Michelle Day going down the list. We also have a new chef here. I don't know his name offhand, but he's going to be contributing to the art because he's not only an art chef, he's also, you know, does jewelry. So that is all what's on the walls for today.
Yeah, the wall looks great. I have seen some of this art a few times, some of these paintings a few times, but I don't get tired of looking at them because with each painting that is hanging there, you get a piece of the artist as well. You get some of their time and their frustrations and their joy. I mean, you can see it in a lot of these paintings, just the emotion that they have whenever they're painting it. It's wonderful to be able to feel that.
Right. And when we do the meet and greets, they're fun. Everybody, like, you know, this is a child friendly place. They have a whole shelf full of board games here. So if you bring your child and have a beer, as long as you're not driving drunk, bring your children out. There's live music on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. I don't think there is on Sunday, but usually it is, like, I'm looking at the list right now. We have Drew and Antoine from the Cheektones, Parker Smith, Pat Berry. Last time we were here for an event, Eve and I heard this wonderful soloist, and her and her father danced to it. But the events are great because everybody brings their kids. The people that were already in the brewery may or may not know that it's an art show. All the artists also bring out more pieces, smaller pieces, and lay them on the tables for that event. And we all have beer and music and talk to each other. It becomes a great thing. It's funny how we got hooked up here because some of my future interviews, such as Jeff Daverman, the way I'm not sure if everybody knows about me or not. It's like I've had a show forever. So sometimes I get a little backtracked on how much you know about me. My story is that I was born in Pennsylvania, learned I wanted to be an artist. My parents moved out to Arizona. When I was in first grade, I was very shy and sweaty. Matt formally interviewed me back in April of 2015, right after I had moved home from Pennsylvania. We came across country with two dogs, two cats, two kids, and a minivan. I dropped off everyone in Chino Valley, and I got an interview with Matt to start promoting myself in the area. And then I did an art show in Vegas. So I went by myself, and my friend watched my kids and critters, did an art show in Vegas, took a Greyhound bus, which took 5 days and was crazy, all the way back to Pennsylvania to pick up my husband, Chris, and my two horses and my stuff. And then it took us a couple days to get home. So that's how I got back here. I was born in Pennsylvania, lived half my life in Arizona, was gone 6 years, and I just came back. So we've been home that long, and it's just, I was not that close to Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. It was like an hour and a half away, and I was doing shows there, and my prices were rising because everybody knew me. In fact, my art is in a movie. It's a short film called Swim Good that's currently debuting. If you look on YouTube, you should be able to find the trailer. If you look up Swim Good trailer, the director and writer is Libido Rose. So I had a lot of great things going on and traveled to Philly for a lot of art shows. I was in a band called Rubus. I was also in Pharmonica. At one point, I had my own gallery and studio called Clayote, where I taught clay, therapeutic clay, to kids and nursing homes, and also did wheel and wines for grown-ups so they could make clay. And I came from this amazing background in Pennsylvania that I pushed for in, and like I said, I didn't live in Philly, so some of the areas were tiny, such as Boyertown, Pennsylvania, which is where my gallery was. It's a small town, smaller than Chino, which is, I feel like it prepared me for being here. It's slightly aristocratic, a little bit conservative. People who have lived there their whole life will not drive an hour and a half to see the ocean, you know, and I respect them for as they are, but I think it's fear-based, you know, a little bit. So I came home after pushing through all that and having my own turmoil and striving and struggling and getting through to the community for what I was doing there and bringing art and belly dancing and yoga. I didn't do the belly. I did. I actually performed, but I didn't teach it. My shop had all kinds of stuff that a small conservative town was not used to and thought was kind of weird. So I persevered through all that, and I came home to Prescott, and we got a house in Chino because it's cheap horse living. And I found that it's amazing how many creative folk live in Chino. We're talking musicians, artists. That's where Eve is. I have some more musician friends. Dale Long Sr. lives there. Aardvark Cigar Box Guitars lives there, where they make functioning cigars out of cigar or guitars out of cigar boxes. Gypsy Soul Art Boutique was there, and they have a dance studio. So there's a ton of creative stuff going on in this quote unquote, you know, country kind of town. That's why she's the Flagstone gal and not the Flagstone girl.
That's right.
So I moved home, and Matt Santos also lives in Chino, and we connected through an old reporter that I used to know when I lived here before. And I just started getting involved and immersing in everything I did. Back then, we had a show, Comedy at the Ranch. We had an event called Comedy at the Ranch at Dan Nightingale, the Doc Comic. He's a comedian, and he saw that I was gung-ho to start getting things going now that I moved home, and offered that we have a comedy event at his place where we had artist musicians, and I was in an acting troupe. We had performers, and we invited the community out. And it wasn't that busy, but it was very successful. The community loved it, even if not everybody knew about it at that time, because it was the first thing we did. And the reason I'm bringing this all up is just how amazing life happens if you're in the flow of what you're supposed to be doing. Like, anywhere in here, I guess I could have said that I need to go get a waitress job. Or I did go on one interview to go to a school. Maybe I wanted to teach art again, even though, wait a minute, I've already taught art for 20 years. And I feel I can almost retire from it now that I have my own kids and I want to create my own art. And I feel like I now teach adults, you know, to become a better artist. or to become a more, promote yourself more. So it's kind of my teaching form now. Anyway, I did all this stuff. And if you're in the flow of stuff, I had those doubts. You know, I just moved across the country. I need to feed my family. I need to feed my horses. I need to get a house, you know. But I think that over the past 5 years, I've gotten into a spot where my husband is incredibly supportive. My kids, well, they're kids, but they're pretty supportive of them. An artist, one of them's an actor, and one of them's really into football and engineering. My father, who was always the workaholic, construction worker, remodeler in Scottsdale and Camelback area, you know, the carpenter for the Stars, even though he's his own businessman and his own house artist, it took him a long time to understand that this is what I do. Because he knows I could have been anything, and this is what I chose to do. So once you get confident and surrounded by other creative folks, or at least supportive folks, even if you have to educate them sometimes, and once you get to that point, you start going in the flow of what you're supposed to be doing. And even though it's scary, if you believe it happens. And the reason I kind of drug that story out back to Granite Mountain Brewing is what happened is, you know, I had all those doubts. I went on an interview or two. And then I just said, you know, I'm going to go full force into getting my art out there and see what I can come up with in Prescott. And I got involved with Tsunami on the Square, and a guy named Tom was running that. And I just wanted to get out there. And so far I had the Comedy at the Ranch thing. So I had art. Me, I was already selling my art. I performed at this Tsunami benefit at Granite Mountain Brewing. So I had art to sell on the walls. I performed as far as singing, and then my comedy acting troupe came out here, and even my son performed, and we did some comedy acting stuff. So I got to perform in this place. It's the second time I got to do that in Prescott. When I moved home, I got to perform, sell art, and perform again, and kind of run the event and help promote it. So when I came in, I had talked to Audra, who is also working tonight, and I had asked her if she had a format for artists, because when I came in, she was very busy, and I wanted to make sure that when artists came in here, it went smoother for them, because it's just one of my goals in life, to make sure that artists don't get a bad name for being flaky, but that they help themselves, but also that artists know what to expect when they come in somewhere. So I talked to her about, you know, do you have a contract to send that? Can you give them information so they know when they hang the stuff on the walls, how the back of their art is supposed to be hung, the final details, the tiny details of everything. And I gave her a contract and just said, use this from now on. It'll help you and it'll help the artist. And she said, Do you want to do this for me? Do you want to be the person that does that? Do you want to be the arts coordinator? And I was like, yes. Well, since then, you know, I've met all these amazing artists, some in Chino, some, you know, all the way in Dewey Humboldt. And I also met Jeff Daverman, who does Granite Mountain Brewing stickers. And Jeff Daverman is an amazing artist. And he has custom sticker makers here in Prescott and makes stickers and prints. So through the process, I've expanded my portfolio, made a deal with Jeff, and he helped me start getting good photos of my art and buying prints and stickers. And now if somebody can't afford $100 or $200 or $300 painting, I can hand them a $2 sticker, you know, or a $10 print, because that's how it works when you're going in the right direction. So I guess my point of that is you don't really go in the wrong direction if you're doing what your heart tells you. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true.
Well, no, I once heard a quote that really stuck with me, and that is, don't be so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. And that has made such a difference in the way that I've handled things and the way that I have gone about seeking out being a full-time working artist. And even if I was just painting on the side while I was working a full-time job, I would still be completely happy knowing that even in the midst of making a living, doing something that I love, I'm still making a life for myself and spreading beauty.
Who are some of your inspirations? And they don't have to be local. Like
you, Danny Fisher. You inspire me.
Well, thank you.
You do. You're such a blessing. And I hope that everybody who listens to this can feel that and take that and use it, because you guys, Danny has done wonders for me. She has gotten me out of my little Van Gogh corner and has gotten me out
into
Prescott. She's
got both her ears today.
I do. I chew my nails sometimes, but don't tell anybody.
Thank you. Who else, though? Like, you know, what are your personal tastes for art, and who do you like, and what do you know? Or have you, you're so into what you're doing right now and you're so immersed in it, you can't even, because I know sometimes I get like that. Sometimes, like, for instance, Akronite, it's an amazing thing, right?
Yes.
I haven't been home for 6 years. Guess what? It was cold, and I've seen so much art recently. Sorry, because I have. I wanted to stay home and be with my family and put on my PJs and watch a movie. Sometimes, even though there's amazing art out there that we can see and inspire, I'm afraid for a second that I might get over-inspired and lose my train of thought on what I'm working on. Do you find that that happens?
It definitely happens. In fact, I cannot keep up with all of what goes on in my head. I have so many ideas to put down on canvas that I just hope that I can remember everything whenever the time comes.
Somehow it comes out right when you're flowing, though, right?
It does. It most certainly does.
Yeah. So what are some goals? I know that I heard you talking about that although you really take pride and enjoy and appreciate your commission customers for them kind of almost designing their vision and then you transcending it into what they want, you appreciate that and love it. But what are some future goals for your career, where you want to go? I know that right now you've taken on, you know, a part-time position back at Sally Beauty to help girls look pretty, which I think is just all part of your art.
And it's only awesome.
Only going to enhance it.
Yes.
I know you've got not only your beautiful children and your husband, but you've got little critters running all over the place inspiring you. She's got the best big black lab, and she's got kitties everywhere, and you walk in pouncing on her paintbrushes.
And chickens.
And chickens, right?
Forget about my chickens.
Fresh eggs. She's got a beautiful garden, and she even is gardening in the winter. I kind of wimped out this year. So she's got all that stuff going on. But what are some of your goals and focus for your future?
Art-based, definitely to be in more galleries. I love painting custom for people. I love putting their ideas and making them come true, like I said. But I do want to execute a lot of my own ideas onto canvas and see them in some of the finer galleries that are downtown Prescott, starting in maybe Sedona and Jerome, and start branching out from there. Those are all goals for me.
What is missing?
What's missing?
Like what isn't there yet for that to happen? Is it just time and you're pacing yourself?
Time and surplus.
Surplus of artwork?
Yeah, time and surplus.
Right. Bringing up Jeff Daverman again is part of the reason that I'm ready finally to submit to galleries, although here I am sitting here so excited about my radio show. I didn't get my submissions in this week. Haha. But part of the blessing of that wonderful collaboration there with, you know, bouncing back and forth off of each other's business in the art world is I've got the right photos now. You've never had a problem with photographs, though. I've seen your stuff. And if you check out Eve's Facebook page, the Flagstone Gal, you'll see some of her work there. But she must just have darn a better camera phone than me, phone camera than I do. But she's got a great amount of portfolio stuff to send. Something that always held me back before was not having those proper photos. And now I've got them because of Jeff.
Jeff's cool.
Yeah. Worked out good. Personal level, any goals besides just art, or is it all kind of
personal level? I am a huge supporter and believer of loving everybody. It is so important in today's world to just say something nice, say what's on your mind, let go of what, you know, isn't setting well with you. Forgive, forget, show some mercy, some kindness. Kindness is a huge thing, even if it's opening the
karma
door for somebody. You know, just love and let live.
You definitely don't want that stuff building up on the side, or you're never going to get your paintbrush out or get clean water. That's kind of how that works. So that's it for today. Again, this interview is on the Mile High Show. This is artist Eve Smith from Chino Valley, Arizona.
Thank you.
We've been sitting here at Granite Mountain Brewing here on Cortez Street and want to thank Matt Santos for the opportunity to get the word out there, get the art going, and get your butts inspired. Again, if you need to reach me, you can call me directly, 610-823-3742. Email, if you want to submit artwork or talk about being on the show, is Howlin' Hands, HOWLINHANDS at hotmail.com. And you can also find Mile High Artist League on Facebook. You can also find the Mile High Radio Show. And my name is Danny Fisher. Enjoy your evening and remember to celebrate life creatively.
I'm filled with rubble, ancient footprints are everywhere. Can almost think that you're seeing double on a cold, dark night on the Spanish stairs.